Mark Hamrick joins us right now, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate.com. Mark, what do the jobs numbers tell you this week? Is that good news or bad news?
Well, we actually had some of both, John. And by the way, relative to your previous mention, I'm in favor of radio tours as well. So it's great to be able to check.
Yeah, they didn't include us in that. But actually, every now and then we do put a tour of our station up for auction for charity. And in fact, I'm going to be hosting some people soon, but not many, not many.
Well, that's a lovely idea, and I'm sure they'll be thrilled. But, you know, there were some thrilling and somewhat concerning parts of the jobs report that we got early this morning. Let's start with the good news. The pace of hiring so far in 2023 is turning out to be a lot better than I think what we would have expected by this point. So we had larger than expected gain in payrolls, 339,000 in May. We had upward revisions for the previous 2 months. So that gave us a total of 432,000 jobs that we didn't know we had before. And that means so far in 2023, we're averaging more than 300,000. The not so great part is that perhaps we shouldn't be too surprised with all the layoffs and job cut announcements we've been hearing. We had more people unemployed. And so that number rose by 440,000. That takes the number of unemployed up to 6.1 million, and the unemployment rate now is at 3.7%. We don't know where that's headed exactly from here, but the fact that the job market's been holding up as well as it has been, I think, is one of the many surprises that this economy has been able to generate.
Yeah. It still begs the question, so is that good? So is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I had the ability to talk within something longer than a 3-second soundbite there. But, I mean, on balance, I think it's a good jobs report. I mean, the fact that you have the job market, you know, holding in there is good. But we know that it's nuanced because the economy is complicated. And within this massive economy of ours in the United States, you have some sectors like technology, which has been shedding jobs, that over the intermediate or long term, you don't want to bet against technology. Everybody's going gaga about AI right now, for example. One of the areas that was previously red hot was video streaming. We're seeing consolidation there. So we think about the complicated nature of our economy that also includes more than a year's worth of interest rate hikes and inflation that continues to be too hot for the Federal Reserve's comfort.
Right, which is kind of where I was going with that, and do take the liberty to give me more than a soundbite. That's why we're here. But if the jobs market stays hot and wages actually are still good, the Fed's going to tack on more interest rate hikes. I mean, you know, I am one of these people, and I don't think I'm alone, where I say, could we just get this recession started and get it over with? Hope it's a soft landing, but let's just be done with the thing.
Well, to your point, John, I think, you know, we are seeing sectors that are experiencing their own equivalent of a recession, right? So housing is cool, but yet it's sort of popped back up here in the last month or two. Some sections of the country are seeing quite robust activity in the housing market, despite the fact that we've gotten that 30-year fixed rate mortgage back up to close to 7% again. But if you're one who's been toiling, let's say, in the technology sector and particularly looking for work in that sector, or might have been laid off or something somewhere in between, you might be a little more concerned. Information jobs, many of the people that we know in this industry, whether it's newspapers or broadcast, there's been some shrinkage of employment there having to do with the digital transition, among other things. So, you know, to your point, you know, maybe we do need to get interest rates higher to really sort of drive a stake through the heart of inflation. But I don't think the Federal Reserve wants to cause that kind of a crash. I think what they would like to do is engineer a soft landing. But we know the Federal Reserve officials have said with some frequency in recent months that they think that that window has been closing in the sense of avoiding an outright contraction. But I don't think it's an impossibility that we could avoid a recession in 2023, but we'll see.
Most likely it will happen, though.
Well, the economists broadly do believe that that's the case, the chances were last put at 2 in 3 when we surveyed them at Bankrate. I'm about ready to go through that process again here by the end of the month, and we'll see whether they put the odds higher, lower, or about the same. So 2 and 3 doesn't equal 100, obviously. So meaning an absolute certainty that we have an economy, or rather a recession this year. But obviously, we will have a recession at some point.
By the way, as we were talking about interest rates, I always like to then ask you what the latest is on credit card rates. And if the Fed picks it up a quarter, do my credit card rates go up too? Are those things tied together, Mark?
They sure are, John. And so the average rate for a new offer for a credit card this week is up about 2 basis points over the past couple of weeks at 20.37%. And if you read the fine print on many of these cards, they will typically say the rate could be as high as, let's say, 29. People who have better credit scores, better track record of paying their bills, higher credit scores, typically then qualify for this lower rate. This is why we implore, beg, all those things for people to pay off their credit card debts, essentially within the billing cycle, so that they don't go, you know, a couple of weeks farther where those interest charges do accrue, because this is the most expensive interest rate that most regular consumers will be paying if they allow those charges to carry over.
I think I heard earlier this week the percentage of people who carry a balance versus those who don't. It's about 50-50. Is that right?
That sounds about right to me. And of course, the level of the balance is, you know, I would say among the most important things. We've been seeing figures that those balances are rising steadily, and, you know, not a huge surprise why. You know, we've been battling these high inflation rates really for 2 years now, and there are just some people who aren't able to make it work. And so, many are relying more on credit and allowing those balances to essentially persist, and that becomes a bit of a trap for them. So the good news is that inflation is coming down. Incomes are making some progress against inflation now, and so we hope that people will take advantage of the positive aspect of this interest rate environment, and that is really take advantage of the high yield savings opportunities that are out there for online banks. The average is, the majority of online banks are providing better than 3% annual yields, and some are as high as 5. So that would have been unheard of before the Fed started raising interest rates, of course.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of all of that, I'm just looking at some of the other numbers. Three other issues are ahead of us. The Federal Reserve, they've got the next opportunity for them to raise the rates is in July. Is that right? Or is that in June? No, it's in June.
June 14th, I believe.
It goes up a quarter. What is the impact of what's your forecast for the markets, for our retirement accounts that are vested heavily in equities? Do you see those improving this year, or is it going to be flat this year?
Well, first of all, we asked that question of our market mavens, which we have that material on Bankrate. We do 4 different stories on that. It's a survey of professional investors. One I can think of is in Chicago, maybe more. But anyway, the majority of those that we surveyed last quarter, and I literally have a new survey in process right now, the majority thought that there was a likelihood that we are either in the midst of beginning a new bull market or will have one underway by the end of the year. So that means that essentially we'll get out of this bear market that we've been in. And, you know, if you look at what the NASDAQ composite has done lately, you're seeing double-digit percentage increases there year to date. The complaint about the stock market right now is that the breadth, or essentially the participation in the rise in prices, is not good. Meaning that the average stock is not participating. But to the, you know about this as well and better than anybody, John, that if the Fed does begin to signal that it stops raising interest rates, if it's truly won the war on inflation, then we'll get into a better earnings environment and valuations can be allowed to expand and have better performance for companies more broadly. And then that would be what could truly be the fundamentals of a rising stock market. But, you know, the other part of that, John, is, and you know, this is about as tried and true as it gets, is that most mere mortals, and I'm more of a mere mortal than most, are not able to time the stock market for the purpose of their retirement savings or investments. And so that's why we really do have to stick with that long-term game plan and ride out the inevitable ups and downs and market cycles and economic cycles.
Well, about the idea that sometimes 5% of the companies in one of the indexes are driving those indexes, the NASDAQ would be an example of that,
yes.
The Dow too, for that matter. But Terry Savage said the other day, so then don't try and pick the market, just be the market. If 5% are going to raise the tide, just get in the ocean. Don't try and figure out what those 5%ers are. And I that's good advice, isn't it?
I could not agree more, and that's why I don't play that game personally with the money that I have to invest. I mean, I might just on the margin more for fun than anything else, sort of like the money that you would seek to lose if you took $200 into a casino, because we know how Las Vegas, et cetera, were built. But that's the beauty of indices, whether it's the S&P 500 or something else. And even though, let's say, that rise in an index, it lacks a certain amount of credibility in the sense of participation, it's money, you know, in the would-be bank. And so no complaints. you take a win where you can get it.
Yeah. One last comment about this job report, and then I'll let you comment on it, and we'll go. Professional and business services led job creation for the month, 64,000 new hires. Government help boost the numbers, another 56,000. Healthcare, 52,000 jobs. So those are the hot areas, huh?
Well, they were in this particular month. I think broadly speaking, let's say year to date, we've had pretty credible participation in jobs creation. The Institute for Supply Management data suggests that the manufacturing sector is in a bit of a recession, and so you may not be getting as many jobs in manufacturing right now as you'd like. We still have a lot of pressure sort of on the global economy scene. Not a great situation there. So that's not great for U.S. manufacturers. And the dollar has remained robust, even though not as much as before. But let's say if we do get through this year without a calamitous contraction, meaning we can keep the unemployment rate, let's say 5% below, 5% or below, then the job market will be, we'll lose some jobs. People will lose their jobs, but we'll still have hiring within that. We had 6 million people hired in the latest month, broadly speaking, because there's always going to be that sort of rotation of people moving from one job to the other and some retiring and other people moving up. So most people out there ought to be doing just fine, and they'll be doing a lot better. The stock market does better, and we can put the worst of inflation, or let's just say get inflation back down to that Federal Reserve 2% target.
Mark Hamrick is the Washington Bureau Chief, Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate. All right, Mark, good job. Thanks for your help today.
Always a pleasure, John. Thanks for having me.
Latest on the Taylor Swift concert in town tonight. Travel, tickets, and all of the fun details. We'll get to that in a little bit as well. Speaking of spending a lot of money, here's Jennifer Streaks, senior personal finance reporter at Insider. That's businessinsider.com with some personal finance tips. Hi, Jennifer. How are you today?
Well, I'm great. How are you? And thank you so much for having me on.
You know, that you're welcome. That segue to you from Taylor Swift is that so many people are spending so much money on these Taylor Swift tickets. I mean, like two seats or standing opportunities on the field in front of the stage on the secondary market here in Chicago this week were $21,000.
That hurts. Just the sound of that hurt. I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine.
The obstructed views in the upper deck behind the stage, two of those seats will cost you right now about $1,500. So, presumably, here's the transition to you would be presumably the people have that money, that they're not racking up credit debt or something like that.
Right. And not only just having that money, but having everything else in order too. So we're assuming you don't have credit card debt. You've got your emergency fund with, 9 months to a year set aside. You've got your 401k and other investments towards your retirement set up. and growing and, you know, and building interest and things of that nature. You don't owe taxes. I mean, there's just so many boxes to check off financially before you get to the point where you're spending $1,500 and up on concert tickets.
I don't know anybody that has all those boxes checked. Did you say 9 months of savings for your expenses? We should all have that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are seeing and hearing more and more about layoffs. And it's really hard to just jump into another job quickly that's at the same level that you were at, because corporations are responding to some sort. They think that there's some sort of financial correction, recession, something that is coming or happening quietly, and they are responding to that. And so the hiring is not as much as it was. You may not get the same salary that you had. It may take, it will definitely take you longer to find another opportunity. So, yeah, 9 months at the very least.
I don't remember what the percentage or number is now. One of our colleagues at the radio station has a commercial on, and he said that the percentage of Americans who do not have enough money to meet an unexpected $400 expense, I don't know, it was like half of us or 35% of us don't have, let alone 9 months.
Correct. I mean, I think I remember that statistic. It was $400. Like, there are Americans that don't have money to respond to a flat tire or some sort of issue with their car or their an appliance in their home going out. And so when you think about that, yeah, you need to have an emergency fund set aside, not just for, you know, if you lose a job, but also if you have just these everyday issues that happen occur.
Okay, so give me some, what's the medicine? Give me some steps or tips here. What do I need to do today?
Today, if you aren't already building an emergency fund, you get started today with whatever you have. I think that there's so many people that think that in order to start saving money, I need to get started with $1,000 or $2,000. You can get started, go and open up a savings account and get started with $50, $30. What you want to do is start the habit of saving. And that's what it's going to be all the time. You, whatever paycheck or income you have coming in, you put it on automatic deposit and you set it and forget it. If it's $30 a paycheck, if it's 50, if it's 100, whatever it is, you get started. And once you start to see that money grow, you're going to want to keep saving and building that account.
Should I pay off credit cards in this order with the highest balance first, or, you know, pay most on the ones with the highest balance or with the highest rate? Because maybe I've got two cards. One's at 20%, one's at 15%. 15% has more on it, but the other one has got less, but it's a higher rate. Which one would you attack more aggressively?
For me, I would attack the one with the higher interest rate, because that's adding, if you have a balance on that card, that is adding even more every month. So you want to get rid of that first and just get that out of the way so you're not continuing to add to that balance because of that higher interest rate. Just get that out of the way, and then once that's done, use that same amount and pay off the next credit card that has a balance on it.
Is it effective to call your credit card company? Are they in a forgiving mood these days?
If there's something going on with you financially and you want to be upfront and honest and say, maybe you lost your job, maybe you had a reduction in hours, something is going, maybe you want to ask and, you know, and say, you know, I've been a client or I've been a customer for however long, I would like you to look at maybe reducing my interest rate. All those things are conversations that you can have with your credit card company. They want to keep you as a customer. They certainly want to continue to get paid. And so it is to your advantage to make that phone call and talk to your creditor about whatever it is that's going on.
Phone number's right on the back of the card there. I think some of us just hate to even think about it. We don't even want to make that call, you know?
Correct. Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. It's that avoidance. And, oh, my gosh, don't be put in a position where they're actually calling you and you avoid the phone call. The conversation is what is going to help you financially. It's going to get you out of whatever place, whatever possibly negative place you're in with your creditor. So go ahead and have that conversation and get back on a positive journey with your credit card.
Summer travel, people want to do that right now. And a lot of times you're going to use your credit card. I mean, even if you're paying it off, you're going to use your credit card. What advice do you have for people that are planning on traveling this summer?
The first thing, and you and I have discussed this, John, that you set what your budget is for travel and then decide your destination. I see so many people that say, I want to go here. And that place might be out of your budget this year. If your travel budget is $500, $700, you find the place where you can get the most bang for your buck for that budget. Not say, oh, I want to go to Greece this year, and then try to take everything you have, $3,000, $5,000, and trying to go to Greece. You know, if your realistic budget for travel is $700, find the place that supports that. That's the first thing. Make your budget for your travel.
The second or third person this week to say, here's how you figure out where you're going to go. How much money do you have? That's a different way to calculate that. I'm almost out of time. Any last tips or ideas you have for our listeners?
I would say the first thing, before you make any moves, whether it's travel, concert tickets, whatever, make sure that you are saving for the rainy day. Make sure that you have money in the bank for when you're finished traveling, when you're done with the concert, because you're still going to have your everyday bills to pay and your everyday expenses. So once, you know, Taylor Swift is on to her next spot, you want to still be able to come home and have money in the bank.
Jennifer Streaks, senior personal finance reporter at businessinsider.com. Very helpful. Thanks, Jennifer. Appreciate your thoughts today.
Thank you.
The business news continues on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Chicago's tourism industry is nearly fully recovered. The city's tourism agency, Choose Chicago, reports nearly 49 million people visited the city in 2022, a 60% increase over 2021. Figures about 80% of the 2019 level pre-pandemic and will likely reach full recovery in 2025. Tourists spent $16.9 billion in Chicago last year. Hotel occupancy hit 60%, up from 43% the year before. Choose Chicago says the city's expected to host 54 million visitors this year. The group's goal is to push that number to 61 million visitors in 2025. The company that operates Applebee's is the highest bidder in the bankruptcy auction for Corner Bakery. Cranes reports SSCP Management has offered to pay $15 million for Corner Bakery and has offered to take on its liability. The company operates Applebee's, CeCe's Pizza Buffet, and Sonic Drive-In. Corner Bakery filed for bankruptcy earlier this year after its bottom line took a hit by the shift to work from home. Corner Bakery has more than 80 locations and 2,000 employees. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
We got your business of food now. Here's Steve Alexander.
And it's a Mr. Fizz Friday. Jim Fizzell, our gardening guru, will be along just after I tell you we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Got everything planted, Jim?
I've got more stuff to go. I've had some trouble with some of the stuff I'd started because it just was not growing. I bought transplanting soil from one of the big companies, and it's always been really good. But this time I kept thinking, these plants aren't growing. And a couple of the bottom leaves are turning yellow. I'm thinking, these things are nitrogen deficient. Shouldn't be, because there's supposed to be fertilizer in the stuff. So I fertilized them 2 days ago, and lo and behold, they practically doubled in size. But it's amazing. You can't trust what's on a label.
Yeah, well, that's no good. What else is on your mind?
Well, you know, it's the first weekend of meteorological summer, which started yesterday on June 1. Very dry, although this past week we had just a taste of moisture. Got a tenth of an inch of rain for the first time in 7 weeks. But some things that can be seeded right now. The beets can be seeded still, vines, cucumbers, greens, okra, and so forth. People that have started pepper plants, tomato plants, and annuals under lights, time to get them out. One thing I want to caution people, people that grow squash and cucumbers and some of these other vine crops, a lot of times these things wilt just about the time you're going to get the cukes off of them. That's because the plant has been fed on by a cucumber beetle, which doesn't kill the plant itself, but it introduces a bacterium wilt disease. So you need to keep them off. The way to do that is to cover these plants as soon as they begin to come up with floating row covers. These are almost like old mosquito netting. Cover them so that these insects can't get in there and lay their eggs. I've noticed a lot of the white cabbage butterflies flying around. They're looking for things like broccoli to lay their eggs on. You can't even find these little cabbage worms because they're down in there until you begin to cook the broccoli and you find out they're live things trying to climb out.
Oh, gross.
Spray with bacillus or use the floating row covers over the top of these and protect them. This weekend should be great for being outdoors. So get the chores done early so you can get out and enjoy just being outside.
Mr. Fizz, Jim Fizzell. From the farm to your belly, as we've mentioned many times, it's National Donut Day today. It's also National Rocky Road Day, and it's National Rotisserie Chicken Day. Tomorrow is National Egg Day, so I guess we've answered that question. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
We mentioned earlier that you can take tours of the places where movies and TV shows have been shot in Chicago. You see them on TV, big screen, small screen, but you can actually go to those spots. Aaron Miller is in PR, sales, and marketing, the manager of On Location Tours. Hey, Aaron, it's John. You're on the air. How are you?
Hi, John. Doing well. How are you doing?
Good. So is this a local company doing just Chicago stuff, or do you guys do these kind of tours across the country?
Yeah, good question. So we've been around for close to 24 years now, and we currently have TV and movie tours in New York City, Boston, Chicago, and Los Angeles.
Got it. Which is probably where a lot of movies are shot, right? That makes sense that you would be there.
Exactly. Yep.
And in Chicago, what are the more popular tour destinations?
Yeah, so we have a two-hour downtown Chicago TV and movie sites walking tour, which features locations from The Dark Knight, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Blues Brothers, The Bear, which is actually releasing their second season on June 22nd. So that's more of a downtown loop walking tour. And then we also have a Chicago suburb sites tour, which is a three-hour tour that ventures through the Chicago suburbs like Winnetka. And this one has the famous house from Home Alone, the football field from The Breakfast Club, Cameron's Ferrari car garage from Ferris Bueller, and so many others.
So downtown, when you're in the city, you're walking. When you're in the suburbs, am I on a bus then or something?
Yes, you're on a private vehicle. Yep.
Is one more popular than another?
Good question. We actually find that both are equally as popular. Both have equal amount of locations. But for those who are really into seeing the houses, we recommend, Chicago suburbs. But for those looking for more of a walking tour, kind of get to see downtown Chicago if they've never been before, it's a really great way to sightsee as well.
I'm thinking of the houses. While You Were Sleeping, as in LaGrange,
yep.
Right?
Correct.
Home Alone, of course. Christmas Vacation, but I don't know that was shot in Chicago. Is Clark's house on that tour?
That one is not on our tour. We do have the Cameron's car garage from Ferris Bueller. We also have the 16 Candles house. That's another John Hughes one.
When I do The Dark Knight, where do I go? What do you see when we do The Dark Knight?
Yeah, so you see more of the corporate buildings in downtown Chicago, so that would be on that particular tour. Some more of the corporate office buildings, some more of the high-rise, the Gotham, style. And then there's some other, fun facts. All of our tour guides are local actors and actresses, so they have great behind-the-scenes knowledge about what it was like actually shooting in downtown Chicago.
You can visit the site of the famous record store from High Fidelity. We love that movie. I wonder if that's still a record store. I'll bet it's not, but I guess I can go to that spot, huh?
Exactly. So some of these locations might not be exactly as you remember them from the movie or show. Some have closed down, some have changed. But at the same time, it's really interesting to see it. And most people still enjoy that and like to be able to take photos.
Risky Business, very popular movie. Lots of Chicago scenes there, right?
Yep, exactly.
Home Alone, though, is probably the mother of them all. I don't know if people. Then again, there's the Blues Brothers too. Would you pick a movie that people are most anxious to say I was there? What's the spot in Chicago that is most popular?
Oh, man, it's really tough because whether you're a diehard John Hughes fan or you're more into the classic mobster and action flicks, the cityscape just has so much to offer for any movie fan. I'd say this year in particular, The Bear on Hulu is a really, really great show. It was featured, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but Mr. Beef on Orleans Street is actually on the tour. So people can actually go there, tour it, get some food. And with the relevance of the season two premiere, I think people are going to be most excited to see that spot.
Yeah, I think you're right. We're well aware of that. And boy, that's been such a boon for that business, too. And deservedly so. It's a fun story and it's a nice angle. If I want to go on one of the tours, what do I do, Aaron?
Yeah, so just visit www.onlocationtours.com. You'll see a Chicago Tours heading on the webpage, and then you can just click into whichever tour you think you'd like the most.
Sounds like fun. Hey, thanks for your thoughts today. We appreciate the help.
Thank you so much for having me.